business would be approval of the previous committee's meeting minutes, which have already been distributed. Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Having Commissioner Bivens and make the motion for approval of the minutes, and Commissioner Martin. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Committee item number one, land and water update.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm proud to announce that the grand opening of the new Caprock Canyon Visitor Center was held in nearby Caprock Canyon and celebrated the nearby Kitty Quay on October the 19th and 20th. The visitor center contained reception and exhibit areas, offices, restrooms, and a gift shop, and believe me, a much needed facility, and one that is welcomed by staff and by the folks up there in that part of the state and the folks who enjoy Caprock Canyon State Park. I hope you can see it soon. Cotton bond funds were used to complete three projects at Government Canyon State Natural Area prior to the end of our fiscal year. This work represented the last of the Conley bond funding that allowed park development work in the state park system. Kind of an important milestone for us. That money is used up, gone, and been well used and very appreciated. The Battleship Texas Foundation, in conjunction with CPWD, has received statements of qualifications from an outfit called Marine Ship Surveyors to conduct their review of the Battleship Texas hull and the structure of that ship, which will help determine the best possible solutions for dry berthing the ship out of water. The Battleship Texas Foundation funded this contract, and the vendor will be selected next week with completion of the study expected in the spring of 2008. Again, an essential step prior to making the decision of dry berthing and how we're going to dry berth and how it's going to be set up. And we appreciate Battleship Texas Foundation's help and funding of this study. Thank you, sir.
Committee item number two, bond program and capital projects update. Mr. Steve Liston joined with Dr. Laura. Make this presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, my name is Scott Laura, Deputy Executive Director of Operations, Texas Parks and Wildlife. As we look at this presentation, normally we don't go into a lot of detail here. Normally I'm not up here, but discussing with Mr. Cook and Mr. Wiston the importance of kind of reminding not only the new folks, but the other commissioners, how capital bonds or capital program expenditures happen and what the issues are. We thought we'd go into a little bit bigger overview here. The first couple of slides I'm going to share with you here, I'm not going to read them, but I would encourage you to take a close look at them. Our system is pretty large. We've got 3,600 buildings, and many of those buildings are many thousands of feet. We have 255 on-water, on-site wastewater and wastewater systems. Those are regulated by TCEQ. They're pretty significant. Many of those require special certified water wastewater operators that have to be certified by the state. We have over 1,000 screen shelters. We have some really interesting things like trams and railroads, all the way up here, railroad way, so we're going to have we have many bridges. We have golf courses, swimming pools, and boat ramps, et cetera. Probably one of the more costly infrastructure components that we have are those 840 or so roads, trails, and parking areas that are a major issue in terms of expenditures. I wanted to do just a little bit of a background here to let you see the significance of some of the backlog of major capital construction needs that the agency has labored under for a long time. We decided to do kind of a decade look. All these slides that you see are going to represent the last 10 years of infrastructure capital needs and expenditures. You'll notice that back in 97, 10 years ago, there was a study done by an infrastructure task force at the time, which identified over $160 million worth of backlog of repairs that needed to be done. And rather than go through each of the slides, you can see that the 10 years subsequent to that, the backlog has increased pretty dramatically. It's gone to $300, $400, and almost $500 million currently that were identified in the last legislative appropriation request. The reason I bring this up is because we've also been fortunate in the same 10-year period of time, we've received some pretty significant money to do capital repairs, starting out in 1998, $64 million, 2003 to 2006, another $54 million in Prop 8 bonds, and then currently, fortunately, because of the bond election yesterday, there's another $52 million available coming up in the next cycle. But we're going to talk about how that money cycles through. I thought it might be interesting for you to take a look at how this money gets spent. This is a 10-year, almost 9-year look at encumbrances and expenditures. I thought this was important to articulate to the commission. The state government looks at expenditures and encumbrances essentially the same. They are money that has been either actually spent or are encumbered under a contract and therefore committed to be spent. Once they're encumbered, they don't roll forward into the next year. So for purposes of what the legislature sees and what the LBP sees, those encumbrances are essentially the same as expenditures. They don't roll into the next year. We're going to talk about that more here in a minute. What you see there really is the purple line, or the darker purple line is the encumbrances, and the bluer line are the actual expenditures. But you can see that we've done a good job over the last 10 years of expending money that we get. One of the reasons I'm doing this presentation is we have gotten a message real clearly from the chairman that we need to spend the money as quickly as we can that we received in the last session. But I wanted to demonstrate the success.
And wisely.
Yes, wisely and efficiently.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
But I did want to demonstrate that we have a good track record of expending money. We have not had trouble spending capital money that's come into the agency. We've been very successful. We have spent it wisely, and we intend to continue to do so in the future. This is a real important slide that I would ask you to look at, not too much in the detail, but the color is important. Each one of those different colors represents a different funding source for capital repairs. There are Proposition 8 bonds, there's the old Connolly bonds, which Mr. Cook referenced a few minutes ago, there are revenue bonds that were issued in the year 2000. My point being, if you look at any one of the colors, pick a color, and look across there, you'll see that it takes 4 or 5 years to extend the bonds under the state bureaucracy. And I want to talk about that in just a minute. We are encumbered by certain rules and regulations statutorily that unlike the private sector, cause these bonds to take some time to be extended. I want to give you a couple of examples. Under state rules, when we extend state dollars, we have to do cultural and natural resource assessments and mitigation. So unlike the private sector, we've got to go out and see if there were any Native American sites or artifacts there. We need to go out and do habitat evaluations to determine whether the habitat that supports endangered species is affected. Those are things that take time, and there are certain procedures and protocols that cannot be scrimped on in terms of the time. There are regulatory issues like ADA, TCEQ, every one of those water and wastewater systems that I described earlier has to be reviewed and approved by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. We are encumbered by HUB requirements, historically underutilized business requirements. Those are minority-owned businesses. We are required under the contracting process to look for HUBs and for with our major contractors to require them to look for HUBs. That requires them to go out and look for those. Many times when we go out to bid on a capital construction project and we get the responses in, nobody has done their homework and the HUBs aren't represented, and we have to go back out to repost and go through the process over again. ADA, I mentioned, I think you're probably all familiar with the American Disabilities Act. You know, we have to be sure that we comply with those things at the time of the consumption process. We go through state procurement processes that require us to go out and do competitive bids for both the architectural and engineering components, as well as once that's done, the construction components. Typically a mini several month process. And oftentimes when we get those bids back in, for example, if the bids are too high, and that's been a phenomenon that's been more and more frequent given escalating costs around the state, as some of you know in your businesses, you're then forced to go back out and repost again and rebid, therefore it eats up some more time. Occasionally, we get no bids. Many of our facilities, as you are probably aware, are scattered around the state, places that aren't really sitting right next to an urban area with a lot of construction expertise. So when you're looking to do work at Big Bend Ranch State Park out in West Texas, it's hard to get people to bid out there. There's not many construction outfits that want to go out there and do minor projects. I might also share with you that we typically run anywhere from 200 to 400 construction projects at any given moment. One of the strategies Mr. Wilson's going to talk about when we move forward here is we're trying to compress that. That's one of the reasons, one of the things we're doing in response to the chairman's charge to try to compress the time here is to try to run fewer projects. But you need to understand we're talking about 100 plus state parks, 52 wildlife management areas, 8 fish hatcheries, and innumerable regional and local offices that we operate. So we typically have a lot of projects going on at one time. I think it is important for you to understand that it typically takes 4 to 5 years to expend capital dollars. This is a slide we've been using for years. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but one of the important things here is it takes about a year from the time money is appropriated to us before we can even begin the design and construction process.
You guys, because I want everybody to really understand that. You say that again, because it took me, I had to hear it about 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
Walk through when we got appropriated in, let's say, end of May. Was that appropriated?
I'm going to go through a slide.
Okay. I think it's important to understand it relative to the cycles.
This was actually a slide we started using, I believe, in the year 2000. So this slide, when we pulled back up, we used it with successive commissions to help you understand. Now, the legislature does its thing, and they decide to give us some money. It then has to be, you folks have to approve our list of projects, which is done typically in August. It then has to go before the Texas Public Finance Administration to approve then the funding and the project list and says, yes, this is appropriate to do. And then it has to go before the Bond Review Board. And those things don't happen every month. TPFA doesn't meet every month. The Bond Review Board only meets 2 or 3 times a year. So there are staggered timing issues that stall the actual issuance of the funds in relationship to when they were approved. I'm going to go through that in a little more detail in just a moment. What I want you to understand is that those big blue bubbles you see across the top and at the side, the left-hand side, you can see some time frames there. It used to take us 6 to 8 months to get EPFA and the Bond Review Board to do their thing after the legislature and the commission approved our projects. It then takes us about 3 years to actually do a project. So it takes a year to get the money, 6 to 8 months to a year. It takes about 3 years to do the project. And that curve, that red curve you see, is the expenditure curve. When you go out and start a project, for any of you like Mr. Parker and others that do construction, you know that the expenditures are lower in the front end of the curve. You're doing your planning, you're doing your architectural design, that typically runs 10 or 15% of the total project. So you don't actually spend the money to get the contractor on the ground and start constructing the building or whatever it is. That's the piece, that center part of this chart where you see the red line, that's the piece where we believe we have some opportunity to kind of compress the expenditure curve. The rest of it, we have no control over whatsoever.
Does everybody kind of understand what we're talking about here relative to... So remember, we got appropriated certain dollars, be okay in the budget in August. I'm talking about from the last legislative period, which ended about end of May, 07 or whatever.
Yes, sir, I'll go over those dates here in just a minute.
So you've actually got dates. Okay,
yes, I've got some dates.
I'm getting ahead of it, I apologize. Yeah.
This next slide I thought would be very important for you, too, because this is the issue that I suspect the commission, and I know the chairman has been asked questions about, and this is our carryover history. I use the word carryover, the closing AR would use the term UB, and that stands for unextended balances. And it basically describes what happens when you've got money that carries over from one fiscal year to another. We call it UB here in the agency. This graph, this chart gives you the idea of the reality over the last 7, 8, 9 years, which is it is not uncommon for us to UB money over fiscal years. If you're taking projects that take 3 to 5 years to complete, obviously, and particularly since a lot of the expenditure happens at the tail end of the project and not up front, there's a need to carry funds over year to year to year in order to get them expended appropriately and efficiently. which we have good history of doing. But you can see there, now there's a dip, for example, in 2006. You notice that year we didn't carry over much money relative to the other years. It wasn't because we were extremely efficient, unfortunately, I hate to report to you. It was because we riffed about 30 people out of the infrastructure shop that year. We laid off 30 people. And the legislature gave us $0 out of Proposition 8, which had been targeted for us. So that happened to be a year we got no money, and because we got no money, we laid off staff. We were still efficient, but those are some of the issues that you see in that chart. It's not always just a pure UB issue of how much money you had to spend and how many staff you had to spend it. But we've been very efficient, to use your term, Mr. Chairman, in spending this money and carrying it over appropriately to get projects done. This chart is important because what we're trying to do here is give you a flavor for what we guess would be the UB issues in the next 2 years. You go through a legislative appropriation request process for the biennium every 2 years. The left-hand side graph that you see here will be what we think we will UB this fiscal year from 08 to 09. It's not going into LAR. It's just something that happens internally. And what you can see there is that we believe we're going to have half the battleship money, which we've gotten. We're going to have some of that other money that you see described there, Prop 8, Prop 4, some federal money that comes in that will be UD because of this phenomenon that I've just been describing. However, because of some new models we're putting in place that Mr. Wiston's going to talk about, what you will see UD in the LAR, which is what the legislature will see, we think will be, with the exception of the battleship, significantly reduced. The battleship's a unique project. There's not battleship construction firms on every point. And it is a highly technical, a marine engineering project that's going to take multiple years. So I wanted you to see, though, the fact that the total number may look the same in the LAR. It may be up around $36 million. But a huge piece of that, $25 million, is going to be the battleship, which is very explainable. I don't think most folks would think that's an unreasonable carryover. Most of those other funds, Prop 8, the Prop 4 that we're going to get as a result of the election yesterday, and many of the federal funds, which benefit the Fund 9 shops more frequently, will be extended down to the $7 to $8 million UB, we think. Now, I must describe the phenomenon that occasionally occurs. Because this happens, we have people ask this question. The LAR process, legislative appropriation request, where we lay out to the legislature what we think we need for the next biennium, is going to start this next March. We go through the process from March up through August in preparing that LAR. You will see it at the end of August, and it includes the estimated capital construction carryover totals that we just talked about. So you may well see some number like $36 million that the legislature will also see as a carryover unexpended balance that may move into the next biennium. Funds that come to us after that exercise will drive up the UB, the unexpended balance total. So we may get grants, we may get other dollars that happen to come in, typically not through the state, but through other mechanisms. Federal dollars is a good example that may come in after August that could indeed. So we may go down to the legislature and say, we think $36 million is going to UB, move forward, here's what it is. And by the time you get to the session the following January, that number occasionally grows, and you will get questions, what happened? Why did that grow all of a sudden? And we will be presenting you data as we move forward to allow you to explain why that grew and the rationale behind it. There's a new bubble that was added legislatively this year to this management process, and that is LDB's approval. So if you take the chart that I showed you earlier, which required Texas Public Finance Administration and the Bond Review Board's approval, this cycle we also have to go to the Legislative Budget Board and get their approval. Mr. Wilson's going to talk in more detail about that. Here's the slide I mentioned earlier. This is what we were anticipating would happen and may still happen. We're a little unsure, and I'm going to talk about that. The beginning of the legislature approved funding for us for capital repairs to the tune of $17 million of old Proposition 8 money, and now the $52 million which passed yesterday. The bond election was successful yesterday. Our hope, given the cycle that I just described to you, was that some of that funding would start to fall out in February. Excuse me. That we would get some $19 million in February to begin the expenditure process, which I showed you in the chart, the 3 to 4 year process. We believe the second bond issue would happen in June. And the last then would happen in September of 08, which will allow us a quick start on trying to expend this money as quickly as possible for the chairman's charge. There is some issue about whether that's going to happen or not. We don't have a clear answer. I would like to say we're very happy that the AUB analyst I mentioned earlier, Tina Beck, is trying to help us in this regard. To try to help this not happen. This is the worst case scenario. We wanted to present it to you. We don't know yet what's going to happen, but hopefully with Tina's help we can make the first slide the accurate slide. But in the worst case scenario, the LBB may require that before they issue the money to us that we submit the report, which I described to you this morning. We're having, as you recall, a private outside vendor do a study about how the money expenditure, a capital expenditure, would drive visitation and revenues, if you recall that from this morning's session. There's some chance the Legislative Budget Board may say we're not going to allow you to move forward until we approve that study, which comes out next March. And if that's the case, then this is what would happen. The study would be issued on March the 31st or thereabouts. It would take the LBB some time to do their analysis and be satisfied that the report did what they wanted it to do. And the best case issue then, all of the money could be issued in September of 08, which is only a handful of months prior to the next legislative session.
Fiscal year 09.
Beginning of fiscal year 09, which would then mean that the UB numbers could go up. And more money may get carried into next year. We hope not. Mr. Wilson's going to describe our efforts to try to make that not happen in any scenario. That concludes my piece of the report. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
So basically, between the example and the worst case scenario, you're looking at the pushback from initial funding in February to
funding in September.
So 9 months or more. So
six to 8 months
or 7 months.
I do want to prepare our intent, and Steve and his team have been working very hard at this, is to do what we've been charged to do. That is, we're trying to figure out some models that will allow us, regardless of when this money gets issued, to try to encumber as quickly as possible.
Sure.
However, the money doesn't come in September, it's going to be very difficult to encumber prior to January.
Then aren't there also some money in this, or that came out of this last session that we don't get involved in?
I heard there was something like Proposition 4 that weren't appropriated until 2009. What does that mean?
Well, you may be using some acquisition and development money that's separate from this capital expenditure.
Land
acquisition was specifically, almost exclusively, limited to the Eagle Mountain Lake money that was realized there and was directed to be spent on the acquisition and development of the new park up in the Fort Worth area. There was. We had a little bit of money that was available from other land sales that was already there that we got some authority to extend in some direction about how to spend, but it wasn't a lot of money. It's available in 09 for Paladuro.
Right. Okay.
That piece is what you're probably remembering. That component will be available September of 08, which is fiscal year 09.
Commissioners, if I may, and for the record, my name is Steve Whiston. If you could refer to the chart that's in front of you here, it also does reflect this same issue, Mr. Bivens, that you're raising. We do have appropriation authority that is not for bonds, that is not available to us until 09, until the beginning of September. So even the best case scenario described here in this slide, we are not eligible to receive $25 million for state park repairs, and the balance, the other 50% of funds appropriated for Battleship Texas until 09.
After 04.
Yes, sir. Out of Rock Ford.
I thought there were some issues of.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Those are restricted and put off until 09 regardless.
Now, let me ask you this, Lee. When did we find this out?
We learned of this issue regarding delayed appropriation authority about a month ago. And then we learned about the additional issue in the question that Tina is helping us resolve regarding the stricter interpretation of approval by LDB. We learned that last week.
So what we're facing here, looks like to me, is a year's delay in getting started with these state park repairs, which will push us to within 4 months of the next legislative session, which is going to have egg on our face.
Well, some of it could or couldn't, depending on this situation, then the issue of not even appropriated 09, we can't use it anyway. So until after September 09, September 08, excuse me, for fiscal year 09, I understand that correctly. The problem is there might be a memory of that, okay, it's legislated when we go in January of 09, for a renewal of and continuing momentum. So this is what we're going to have to do. Starting to educate, for example, I'm just going to go see Senator Augie sometime in January about our kind of our audit results and these things, and remind him of that. And my guess is we just found it out is that a lot of the legislators won't remember or won't even know that it's about half the dollars going out of Prop 4 we can't even use. No way. Fiscal year 08. Can't touch it. We can't do anything.
What that's going to put us, notwithstanding who knew what when, this is still going to physically put us 4 months behind schedule.
On a certain amount of money, yes.
On park repairs.
Yeah, these are the capital expenditures.
Right. It's going to put us 11 months behind.
That's correct.
That's a good reason I mentioned age.
Well, Commissioner, I have the luxury of just saying it this way. I mean, I started out my career at Texas Parks and Wildlife and Infrastructure Division, and we've been very fortunate to have two gentlemen, Mr. John Iowa before Mr. Parker and then Mr. Parker, who are experts at construction.
That's right.
Iowa runs a big construction outfit up in Fort Worth, and as you know, Mr. Parker, Mr. Parker is former president of the Texas Home Builders Association. And I know when Mr. Iowa left, he said in front of this group, I'm not sure how many of you were here at the time, that he thought this infrastructure division and this outfit ran this thing as good as all or any private construction outfit in the state of Texas, that we were effective at what we do, that we have not had trouble spending our money. I don't think the legislature sometimes understands. I don't think any of us that are in this understands the bureaucracy that we have to slide through in order to expend this money. We appreciate the support of the subcommittee chair of the commission, and we thought it was important to start now educating you so that you can go down and help us educate the legislature that we don't have trouble spending this money. We've done a good job of spending our money at Texas Parks and Wildlife. We've been efficient. We've been effective. I'm not going to say it's not frustrating occasionally. You can talk to some of my division directors, and they don't like the fact it takes so long and it costs more to do it. But the fact is, given the constraints which I outlined earlier, I think you do a good job of that. I think we have a track record of moving money forward effectively and spending money effectively over time, and we intend to get better at it.
Another part of that, to be fair, Scott, and Steve, everybody, is that you have so many projects. Because, you know, you're building a restroom, you're doing this, you're doing that, and so you start multiplying the times, all these buildings, all these parks, all these locations, a lot of them, and it's been very hard to get to that location. I mean, we have many projects, it is, you know, in a way, almost as TxDOT does. Theirs are $100 million increments, and ours are in, you know, $25,000 and $50,000 increments, and very, very isolated areas. So you've got these multiple issues. Part of our job, I believe, the commission, and all that, learn about this, you know, to go back to your legislators and help them understand. A lot of them don't understand the system. To be fair, it's very complex.
Mr. Chairman, I do appreciate that comment. It is very accurate. the majority of bond issues that are appropriated to other state agencies are for large multi-million dollar projects, 20 to 50 million dollar sustainable projects. And TxDOT, like ourselves, our projects range from $50,000 up to $1.5 to $2 million maybe. And we manage up to, as Scott mentioned earlier, from 100 to 200 projects at a time. So spread all over the state. So our issue is kind of compounded with the complexity of, you know, the number of projects, the size of the projects that we're managing within that larger bond issue.
We're not presenting this to you looking for an excuse. We're going to get this done. We want you to understand, and we will keep you posted. Our responsibility is to have these projects ready, have them reviewed by you and approved by you on time in a priority pattern that we have followed through the years of selecting the most important, most critical projects. Our responsibility is to work with the staff at the oversight agencies and to keep them involved and to solicit their support, and as we go forward, working with the staff from the Lieutenant Governor's office, all the people that are involved in the LBB process, the state auditor's office, and that's what we've got to do, and that's what we, just like our relationship with the Public Finance Bond Review Board, we have a really good working relationship with them. We're in regular contact with them, and they have been very cooperative and very supportive. They've reacted and helped us. So we'll continue that process, and we talked about this presentation a month ago or more, and talked about how, not just with our new commissioner, but how important it is. We had a very successful legislative session. We made huge requests. We put ourselves out there to perform, and we'll do everything we can, but there are some hoops, steps that we absolutely must go through, and we will, and we'll get there. The quality of the workmanship, you know, is another thing that I got to speak to. I see some of these gentlemen sitting on the back row over there. Quality of the workmanship. You know, go to Indian Lodge. Go to any site where we've spent large amounts, small amounts of money. The quality of the work is excellent. Now, like Scott said, Steve said, sometimes we have to start over. Sometimes the contractor don't perform like we would hope they do. But again, that's a process that we go through, and park managers, park regional directors like Mr. Leisure, you met this morning, worked with those people, with infrastructure folks here, the contractors out there, and we're going to get this thing done. It's going to be first class. We appreciate the funding, and we're going to do our best.
I'm a very visual person. I can not necessarily this whole presentation, but you know, the slides. I think in 2006, obviously, you know, that big dip because of social tax and everything else. But are those unexpended balances money that are already appropriated?
Yes.
So it doesn't affect the appropriations, which is just a more special thing.
What happens, Commissioner, is that when some of the legislatures who maybe haven't had the opportunity to keep up with all this, when some of they $40 million. What do you need money for?
And, that money is already tagged, if you will, to specific projects and has contracts on the encumbered pieces. And that's one of the things I think we can say as we go forward. That's one of the things that happens much quicker than the actual contract itself. Is there, we identify the projects that money is going towards long before we actually get to the contract issues.
Going back to what Ms. Hickman just said, what it's going to do, thus it's going to we are going to have to make sure that we all know the answers to the questions that are surely going to be asked by our state legislators. Well,
why are you sitting on this money out here that we gave you 2 years ago? Well, you know, if you can't get LBB approval to sell these bonds, then, you know, we can't spend it if we haven't got it.
And we're trying, that's why I asked them if they could run us through this, because I think it'll help us all understand. And as we get closer to January of 2009, you know, of course, part of my job and all our jobs is to carry that message between now and then, to be prepared for then, wherever we are. Our goal is, and that's where I appreciate the help from LBB and others, is to, you know, get this thing done. It's important for our constituents. Forget us and the legislature. It's our taxpayers and our constituents in the state of Texas who want to use these parks, use these facilities, whatever it may be, to get them right. And that's what we're going
to
try to do.
And you know, it goes back to Scott's very opening slide when he was telling about the palaces, the hole that we're digging ourselves. And, you know, the hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And you know, when we just get a little bit, when we only get, you know, 20 to 25% a year, and we keep digging the hole, it's like Will Rogers said, when you find yourself in a hole, stop digging.
Yeah.
We can't stop digging.
Well, because we got a lot of help in the last
legislature. We have reminded the people of Texas.
Yeah, no, I agree. But we got a lot of help in the last legislature. So it's our job. I think Scott and
Bob. The legislature has turned around, and I think they want to help us more and more.
I think so, and then Proposition 4 passed, and so, you know, there's momentum. Our job is to keep the momentum going. The commission's job is to keep the momentum going so these guys can do their work. And it takes us long. So while we keep this moving, we've got to get moving, but we've got a long day.
Thank you again, Commissioners, for the record. Again, my name is Steve Whitman. I'm the Director of Infrastructure. And for the record, my division is very pleased as well with the success of Matthews with the Prop 4 on yesterday. We certainly recognize we got our work cut out for us now, facing this new $69 million appropriation. I'd like to start just kind of to elaborate a little bit. And I don't care if I can just provide a lot of detail. Thanks, Scott and Bob, have done a great job in sharing with you the situation that we're facing. But clearly we understand, you know, the expectation of the legislature. We understand that our goal is to accelerate the execution of projects, to accelerate the encumbrance of funds to the extent that we can, effectively and efficiently, to ensure that all our projects are done properly and comply with all state law, and ultimately to deliver a good project and at the same time reduce the capital construction carryover. Those are the goals we've set for ourselves. In this last month or so that we've been trying to develop a strategy for moving forward. We have given a lot of thought to how we can do things differently, how we can create a different model for delivering projects. And Scott alluded to specifically the direction we're taking. The new appropriation authority that in the list of projects that you approved in August and the authority now we have money to spend produced a list of 98 projects. My staff has been diligently working, and we have come up with a strategy whereby we are going to bundle those 98 projects into larger, 22 larger projects that have similar scope that lie within a specific region of the state, and try to bundle those into larger packages. We're going to take in those bundles and roll them into larger packages, and effectively try to outsource about $38 million of this new appropriation authority to a handful of very competent, well-established, qualified design and construction firms. So instead of managing 98 projects over the course of multiple years, we're going to be managing much fewer subset projects to move those forward. We're looking at strategies to accelerate procurement of those services and getting those projects started under some different models, under construction manager at risk, considering design build, although that doesn't particularly lend itself to some of the projects that we have on the list this year, but we're really out and trying to determine the best methodology to go forward with here. In the past month, as I said earlier, we have taken the time and met privately with a number of very prominent, well-renowned, well-established design and construction firms to get their input, to get their advice. We sat down with them and said, how would you do this? How would you help us? What ideas can you offer us for getting this done quicker? And we've got a lot of great ideas from them, and I think we're going to be successful in going forward with this. As I mentioned, as a net result, we're going to be issuing larger contracts totaling well over $38 million worth of work to firms that can help us manage and implement these projects. If you have questions,
I might want to say one thing real quickly, Commissioner. This is going to result in a couple of risks to the agency that you may well hear about. The first and probably the most significant one is there's going to be less small vendors out there that have an opportunity to compete. You know, when you've got 200-300 real projects out there, you've got a big pool of vendors out there that want to do the work. When you start bundling these things into $5 and $10 million packages, it's going to preclude some of the smaller mom-and-pop construction companies from being able to effectively compete. You will probably hear about that, so I just want you to be aware of that. It also is going to have some potential to negatively impact operations. Right now, when we do this, Tish can talk in more detail, we schedule these smaller projects in the off-season and so forth. If you start bundling these things into $10 million worth of projects and say, you have to get out there and get after it, there's going to be less flexibility in the season.
Yes, we have had the opportunity in the luxury to really work closely with our customers, the state parks, the wildlife, and local and coastal fisheries division, to try to time our project so that we're not on the ground with a major construction project and interfering with their operation during high visitation or peak season. And so we've been able to, and that also caused some delay in getting projects actually implemented, but certainly well worth in terms of the revenue that it's allowed us to continue to generate. This particular methodology has had some potential to impact that. We don't know if we can stand in the way of these projects going forward. So we do feel like there's some potential that Scott is described to you for projects occurring during some higher visitation periods of time during the year. So, but we're going to work to try to mitigate those circumstances, those situations, and try to work around them to the extent we can, because always the revenue is important to us. Regarding our capital bond program, if you have other questions, just share with you a status or update on our current or existing FY06 GO bond issue. And just to summarize our status on those, we are making great progress, I believe, in the execution of what remains of our Prop 8-06 issue. You can see here we've completed 25% of those projects. 71% or 45 of those projects are in design and construction. The remaining three projects that are still scheduled with 06 Prop 8 are going to be underway very quickly. Two of them, in fact, are smaller force account projects that are just waiting our force account crews to finish the projects that are working on and become available to initiate the work on those projects. Good news is that we are very confident that all the remaining 06 Prop 8 funds will be fully encumbered or extended either before the end of the biennium or by the end of the biennium. And there will be no carry over a UV of this funding so that we will close this issue and move forward. And that's regarding good news. Next up, if I may, I'd like just to summarize, and we've seen a lot of information regarding this in previous slides. Our 0809 bond appropriations over $69 million. If you look at the lower left-hand corner, the Prop 8 portion, the $17 million portion, is allocated to 38 projects. totaling $17 million. Our Prop 8, our Prop 4 authority that's outlined in the lower right-hand corner provides the $25 million for the battleship and the $26.8 million for part repairs, totaling $52 million. A little bit of detail about the 08. But it might be interesting and appropriate to let you have an opportunity to see how these projects are allocated according to the priority criteria that you approved in August. If you recall, we presented and you approved a subset that Scott described earlier in the morning today, a set of priority criteria. Our 08 projects break down, if you look in the lower left-hand corner, to 35 health and safety projects, one regulatory project, and two business continuity projects. And again, those are projects that, like replacing roofs or doing structural repairs, allow us to keep buildings operating and serving the public. Likewise, for the Proposition 4, 08 GO bonds, there are 11 health and safety projects, 25 regulatory projects. Those are primarily projects that will allow us to make repairs to bring facilities in compliance with ADA or meet TCEQ requirements. So 24 business continuity projects, totaling 60 projects for a total of $52 million. If I may, just to quickly wrap up my portion of the presentation and be available to answer questions, elaborate just briefly on some of our projects that we have completed. Bob mentioned earlier our successful completion and the celebration and dedication of the Caprock Canyon Visitor Center. I wanted to share just a few brief pictures for those of you that weren't able to attend. This is the new facility at Caprock. We're really proud of it. Just as Bob said, about 4,400 square foot facility. Cost us a little over $1.5 million to develop. This is the entryway into the new visitor center. This could give you a glimpse of what the facility looks like. These are some of the large windows, and you'll see another slide later that gives you a better feeling of how a visitor can overlook and look into the canyon and have a great vista of the Caprock. The interior shot of the looking at the vestibule of the entrance to the visitor center with the park store on the right. This again is the interior shot looking. This particular photograph doesn't give you the full impact, but a visitor can stand at this window and really get a pretty great perspective and view of the canyon and see the beauty and the magnitude of it. Pictured there on the right is a former member of the Texas Bison Herd. That was Little Chief.
We know it is Little Chief. It'll never be forgotten.
This is a shot of the park store during grand opening. Have close to 450 people in attendance that weekend. It was a great event. Of note, I wanted to show and mention we were fortunate and a really grateful benefactor, Jack Sorensen, a local Texas, prominent Texas artist, donated his original oil artwork to Caprock Canyon. This is the second donation that Mr. Sorensen provided the agency. The first work is on display still at Alligator Canyon, but this has been prominently displayed in our visitor center. You'll have a chance when you get up there to look at it. We were fortunate to have some very special guests at our grand opening. In particular, really grateful to Chairman Warren Chisholm, the second gentleman that we recognize from the right, who was joined us for the occasion, and our own Commissioner Mark. Commissioner, we appreciate your support for this project.
Just wanted to thank you.
Far left is our park superintendent, Deanna Overview. Next to Deanna is the Mayor Pickway. Next to the mayor is Mrs. O.R. Stark. She's the wife of late O.R. Stark, who was really instrumental in Caprock Canyon, development of Caprock Canyon State Park and the trailway, and bringing the Texas State Bison herd to the park. And in the middle of the green shirt, gentleman is the current head of the local Friends Group, which is a very active, very supportive, and very tenacious Friends support group for that park. And we're pleased to have him. If I may shift real quickly.
I can just make one remark on that. On several items. The construction quality of this building, it is well built, something that we are proud of, or will be proud of for many years. And also, I was involved initially with the funding process, and it was not an easy number. But that local support group had the tenacity to stick with it, and they are to be honored greatly for their efforts to bring this project to fruition, because without them, it would not have happened. So I think if we can acknowledge that group somehow, it would be appropriate. But it really is a fantastic facility, and it's, typically literally in a remote part of the state, and I think it's going to draw a lot of people even because of people are even with it at the moment, but something we can do.
Thank you. We agree. Commissioner, worth noting, we did have a great architect, Elliot Hamill, and we're particularly pleased had an incredible contractor, ASR Enterprises out of Burlington. Superb contractor. They did a remarkable job, and we're pleased to have him on board with this project, and hopefully the opportunities that we can work with him again in the future. Having said that, shift quickly to the Texas Game Warden Academy Training Center, new facility underway in Hamilton County. And Bob pointed out earlier, we are pleased that we have now selected our architectural firm to initiate the design of this facility, this campus-wide development. That firm is Brown, Reynolds, and Watchford. Is a really well-qualified, prominent architectural design firm out of Dallas. We executed a contract with BRW in late October, and they're well underway to initiate the design of 10 new facilities and the renovation and repair of the campus of existing facilities that are out there. This is a big deal. The design contract alone, the development of this complex of facilities is about $900,000. So it's a great project, a big project, and we're really pleased to get it off the ground. Just to give you a current status report, I shared with you before, our current fundraising goal for the Texas Game Warden Training Center for phase one development is $8.7 million, and that's for the facility development. That's for the construction, design and construction of the facilities that Bob elaborated on earlier. Total funds raised to date, and actually I think the numbers come from late last week, was $4.7. I do understand that we have received a generous donation as we speak, more money is being made available to us, so that number is growing. We're really grateful for that. Additional phase two future needs includes, for fundraising purposes, an endowment of $3 million that we hope to secure to permanently endow the operation and maintenance, or probably the maintenance and repair needs for the complex, and $3.1 million for the development of the infrastructure, which includes the utilities and sidewalks and landscaping and the infrastructure that are necessary to operate those facilities. But we're well underway to getting this going. Anticipate that this project will be completing design and beginning construction in September 2008, and contingent on our ability to successfully raise funding, We're anticipating completing the construction as early as October 2009 for this facility. Happy that it's underway. Last but not least, I just wanted to take one moment, and I know the hour is getting late, bringing up the speed on the Battleship Texas, as Bob mentioned. The very next step here, after the successful passage of Prop 4, is the execution of our engineering study. As Bob mentioned, the Battleship Texas Foundation is funding that study, they're managing that project, and I'm pleased that, we anticipate, as Bob mentioned, early next week or within the next week or two, being able to make that final selection of a design consultant to initiate that study for the battleship. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
If not, thank you for your
presentation.